It's just Marina Rashlita. Thank you, Warren Greenwood, for sponsoring. And we say this, L'ilu Nishmas, your father, whose yotzeit is on Yud Tes Iyar. And we also wish L'chaim Aruchim to David Levy. And we say this, Shir, L'ilu Nishmas, his father, Reb Shol Ben Kasriel HaLevi. And we also like to say a hearty mazel tov to the Chosson, Chaim Yosef, whose engagement to Shoshi Inglis all should go well. Also a thanks to family Wiesenberg for kindly donating these tablecloths for today's event. I'm sure everybody will join me in wishing a very hearty congratulations and mazel tov to Her Majesty the Queen on the occasion of 60 years of her accession to the throne. This is not going to be a speech about politics. Some people say that the royal family are a waste of money, or others say it's good because of the tourism. But we're going to see what Chazal have to say. So if you've got any negative views about the royal family, those views might change by the end of today's shiur. The basic question we're going to ask is, what is the status in Jewish law of the Queen regarding the bracha which we make? There's a special blessing which is said when you see royalty, when you see a monarch. Do we say that the Queen nowadays is not the same kind of monarch as had been in the past, where there was power, there was gevurah? Nowadays, the Queen's role is largely ceremonial. And therefore you might say that since he hasn't got the power, then the law might be different. And we're going to analyse this and a number of other things. As a background, we know that there's a Mishnah in Perkei Avos, Perek Gimel, Mishnah Base, Hevem Ispalo B'Shlomo Shel Malchus. One should pray for the welfare of the Malchus. There doesn't just mean the monarch. Malchus can mean any government.
Sorry.
So the Mishnah says, if there'd be no Malchus, then there would be anarchy and everybody would do whatever they want. And therefore it is incumbent on us to say, as we do, a prayer every Shabbos for the monarch and the royal family. And there's an interesting story which took place with the Tsar of Russia. The Tsar of Russia once challenged Rav Yitzchok of Volozhin. He said, one of my men went into your synagogue and heard them say a prayer for me, which is all very nice, but I heard that the same prayer is also being said in Germany for the Kaiser. And I hate the Kaiser. And how is it possible for you, the Jewish people, to say a prayer for the Tsar of Russia and for the same prayer to be said for the welfare of the Kaiser of Germany? This can't be consistent. And therefore, as far as I can see, this prayer must be meaningless. It must be hypocritical. So Rav Yitzchok of Volozhin answered him and said, if you look at the text of the prayer which is said, there's a slightly different version which this shul says, but many shuls still say an original version, Hanosein shul amlochim sholon ansichim, he who gives salvation unto kings, etc. Malchus ha-malchus kolam ha-poses, David avdo mecherev ro, Hanosein bayom derech uvamayim azim nasivo. He says, if you look at that prayer which talks about God and his powers, why does it select specifically God being in control of the sea and in control of the waves of the sea? There are many attributes we can give to God. Why is it just that we talk about the waves of the sea? And he said the reason is because when sailors on a boat in the east want to sail to the west, then they say a prayer to God that the waves should carry them towards the west. And when you've got sailors on a boat in the west and they want to travel east, they say a prayer to God that the waves should carry them from the west to the east. So you might argue there's a conflict between the two. But there isn't, because God does in his graciousness the fact that the sailors are able to sail from the east to the west, and they're able to sail from the west to the east. And there's no conflict whatsoever. Okay, he was happy with that answer. And we know from a number of places in the Torah itself that there is an issue of kavod l'malchus. We have to give honor to the monarchy, to the non-Jewish monarchy. In Parshas Vayigash, we know Vayvorech Yaakov is Paro, and Yaakov benched Paro. Paro was a wicked man. Why does Yaakov give a blessing to Paro? And the Sefer Torah Shlemus brings the Chemdas Yomim, who says, Mishum Kavod Malchus, because we have to give honor to the kingdom. And we know with Yosef, when he was pulled out from prison in order to interpret Paro's dreams, Vayigalach Vayichalesim Losov, it says Vayiritsu bin Abor, he was pulled out from prison, and he was shaved and he had a haircut. So Rashi there says, "Mipnei kavod malchus," in order to give honor to the malchus. So the Chasam Sofer asks on this in his Perush Al HaTorah. He says, "Why did Rashi say this? Mishum kavod malchus." He quotes the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, which says that it was the first day of Rosh Hashanah that he was actually being given a haircut on Rosh Hashanah itself, which one wouldn't normally do. But mishum kavod malchus, we set aside a din drabonon, a law which is rabbinical, in order that he could take a haircut to give cover to the malchus. We also know that when Yosef interpreted the dreams of Paro, he says, Elokim yane es shalom Paro, and shalom Paro, the Midrash Lekach Tov says, Mikan shetzorich odom nispalo b'shalom shel malchus, because he was talking about the welfare of the kingdom. And there's something similar in the Mechilta, in Vo'eir of Eid Salim, al Paro Melech Mitzrayim, Hashem sivo lachlok kavod l'malchus. He was saying that you have to give kavod, even though you don't like Paro of Egypt, you still have to give him kavod. And in Vayechi, Vayechazek, Vayisrael, Vayeshev al Hamitah, there Rashi says, Afal pishu bani, even though Yosef is my son, Melechu, he's got a din of king, and therefore I have to give him honor and respect. And even Eliyahu Hanavi, who at the time of Achav, you can't think of a more wicked king than Achav. You know, you think Henry VIII was a wicked king. Achav was far, far worse compared to Achav. Eliyahu Hanavi ran in front of the chariot to gain covered the Malchus, even though that king is not to your liking. So if we now go into the Gemara in Brochus, there are a number of Gemaras, Daf Nun Ches, there's Daf Yud Tes, and also Daf Tes, which talk about the Inyan of Kavod L'Malchus. And the Gemara there says, Tana Rabbanon, Haro Malchei Oved Kachovim, there's also a din of Malchei Yisrael, but Haro Oved Kachovim, someone who sees a Gentile king or queen, Ome Baruch Shanosan Michvodo Libriosov, and the Vilna Gaon gives the Nusach Lebosov Adom, one should make this blessing, blessed be God who gives from his honor to mankind. And this is brought down in the Shulchan Aruch, Arachaim Siman Reish Chafdalet, Tzif Ches, Shanosan Michobot Lebosov Adom. And then the Gemara also says, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, a person should always run in order to greet kings of Israel, and also Gentile kings and queens. And then the Gemara says that there would be an ability to distinguish. There are a number of reasons given. Why is it that you have a mitzvah to run after a non-Jewish king or queen, as well as a Jewish king or queen? Number one, it's covered malchus, it's to give honor to the monarchy. Number two is that you will then also have in mind that in the future, when it comes to the malchus Mashiach, there will be such a great pomp and pageantry in order to give cover to the Melech Mashiach, and you're getting a little feel of that. When you're giving covered now to the Melech or to the Malchus, you're getting a feel of what will happen in the future. And Rashi there says that Olam Habo, because there's a reward for one who keeps mitzvahs, will be honored even more than the king or queen is honored nowadays. And also the contrast to the Melech HaMashiach in the future, that you get a feel and an idea of what covered is to monarchy by seeing it and giving it, and you will then feel what will happen in the future. So it's not just giving honor to the king or queen. And there the Gemara says, Rav Sheshes Saginor Havei. Rav Sheshes was a blind man, and nevertheless he went to greet the king. He also Malka Posach Rav Sheshes Kamavorichle, and he made the bracha. He made the blessing, even though he couldn't see, since there was a procession going past of the royal family. He made a blessing. So the Gemara in Brachos Yotes adds something further. Omar Rabbi Elazar ben Soda Kohen Medalgin Hainu Al Gabe Aronos. There's an inyan that when you go to run to see the king or queen, what do the Kohanim do if there are coffins in the way? The Kohanim are not allowed to defile themselves where there are corpses around, and they have to avoid them. Ah, but what about when they have to go and greet the king or queen? So the rabbis allowed the Kohanim, the priests, to jump over these coffins, Aronos Shalmesim, Likras Malchei Sol, and not only Malchei Sol, but also Malchei Akum, Gentile kings as well as Jewish ones, Sh'im Yiska Yavchin, Bein Malchei Sol and Malchei Akum, and this din is brought down in the Rambam Hilchas Avel. Now how can the Kohanim transgress a din min ha-Torah? So they ruled that this wasn't really a din min ha-Torah. Why? Because there was at least a tefach space between the mace and the tops of the coffins, and therefore the din was a din d'rabbanon, not a din min ha-Torah. Normally, because of possible confusion, one shouldn't even jump over when there is the tefach space, but in order for the Kohanim to be able to greet the king or queen, they set aside this rule being a rabbinical rule to give kavod l'malchus. So here we got an idea and background of how important it is to give respect to the king or to the queen. So we got a number of questions today which we'll try to get through. Number one, do we say that Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II has the same rule as the kings and queens of old? Well, after all, Henry VIII could just say off with his head and off with his head. And the Queen nowadays can't do such a thing. She wouldn't do such a thing, but even if she would, she hasn't got that constitutional power that Henry VIII had. And Henry VIII was no joke. I mean, if you stood in front of Henry VIII and your collar wasn't straight, it wasn't your collar you'd be worried about. And in 1867, there was a famous constitutional writer of English law called Walter Bagehot, who wrote, "The Queen reigns, she does not rule." And I don't mean the reign that we're getting outside today. The Queen reigns, R-E-I-G-N-S. She is in charge of the country, but she's not really ruling the country. So therefore, do we say that since her role nowadays is largely ceremonial, she doesn't have that same power? Maybe therefore we should not be making the blessing over her when we see her.
Over Mr. Cameron.
Oh, all right, then you might ask, do we say it over David Cameron, the Prime Minister? But nevertheless, the Queen does wear the royal robes, the Levush Malchus. She does receive great respect. There is the pomp and the pageantry. There is the idea of the British royal family that it's continuous from one generation to the next. She's got something which is called the royal prerogative. In many ways, she's above the law. And then there's another question is this. Do we say that there is an idea of covered malchus overriding other issues? Do we say this from the principle of medalgin, that the Kohanim can jump over these coffins? Do we say that you might be able to set aside a rule which is, say, a din d'rabbanon? And then further, if the Queen is going to be passing along Holders Hill Road, can you close up your Gemara and go out and see her and be mevatel the learning? Not only Holders Hill Road, I mean, there's going to be an armada of 1,000 ships on June the 2nd or June the 3rd, and with a royal procession, is it a mitzvah to go out there and to stop your learning in order to do this? And we're going to try and answer these questions. Then what if she just whizzes past and you don't really see her? I remember when I was about 6 years old, we were lined up very near here, actually, and we were giving Union Jack flags, and we were told when the Queen passes in her car, you all wave the flag and cheer. Now, what if you don't actually see her? Can you still make this blessing? And then there's another question. The Queen, being a woman, is different to when you have a king passing, because we are not allowed to gaze into a woman's face unless we're married to the woman. So can you therefore gaze at the Queen in order to make the bracha? Well, on that you can answer, well, we said the Gemara about Rav Sheshes. He was blind and he still made the blessing when the monarch went past. So that's not a question at all. If you see a procession going past, and that might well happen then, and the Bircha Yosef says if the king is going past in a ship, and when we're going to have this armada of 1,000 ships on the River Thames at the beginning of June to celebrate, and the Queen is at the head of it, even if you can't see the Queen, according to that, you'll make the bracha, if you can indeed make the blessing over the monarch. Then there's another question. If indeed there is a commandment to say this blessing, can you say the same blessing over the President of the United States of America? Because there, although he's got more power, nevertheless, he doesn't have the continuity. After 4 years, he can be ditched. And then, of course, there's a question about dictators. Assad, Idi Amin, and others. The Birkei Yosef says that when you've got dictators, they are not there by the will of the people, and you don't make the blessing.
King Abdullah of Jordan.
King Abdullah of Jordan. I've seen in the Tshuvas Vanhogos of Rav Sternbuch that Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld said the bracha when he visited the King of Jordan in a tent. And it's interesting that he says in a tent, because there are some who say that you only make the blessing when there's some sort of royal procession going on. But Rav Yosef Chaim made the bracha over the King of Jordan. Anyway, so let's now look at the Rambam. So the Rambam says in Perek Yud, Hilchos Brachas Halacha Yud Aleph, that you make this bracha, Haroah Malcha Yisrael, Omer Shenosan Mikvodo Umigviroso Lireov. And he says similarly with the Malcha Umosa Olam, Shenosan Mikvodo Labosav Adom. So the Girsa of the Rambam, when the Rambam says you make this blessing, he says Shenosan Mikvodo Umigviroso. Mikvodo means his honor, but Migviroso means his power. So the king, according to the Rambam, has to have power. And Her Majesty the Queen doesn't really have power. The power is vested in her government, which is democratically elected. So it seems that according to the Rambam, you can't say the blessing over Her Majesty the Queen, because he uses the word umigvaroso, which means with his power.
So maybe Harold will agree. There are certain circumstances which the Queen can choose the government.
I will come to that. Yes, there are some examples which I've managed to glean on that, having studied British Constitution in school myself. The Magen Avraham brings down the Shalos Tshuvos of the Radvaz in Chelek Aleph Siman Resh Tativov, who talks about in Egypt the king's governor. The king's governor was called a basha. And this basha had enormous powers, and the Radvaz says, Kol Mishum Choshev Kshiltoso HaMelech, somebody who's so important in his ruling is like a king, V'don V'horeg Bamishpot, and he is able to try people and to put them to death in justice. And nobody can override their words. He says they have a din of melech, and you make the blessing over such persons. So that is the psak of the Radvaz. But that is a person who is don v'harig b'mishpot. Therefore, again, you see the idea of gevura, of power, saying the brocha over such people. Therefore, it seems that according to the Rambam, and according to the Magen Avraham, and according to the Radvaz, you can't make the blessing over the queen, because she doesn't possess the power to say, off with his head. Or do we say, no, she's still got the royal prerogative? So comes along Rav Vosner in the Shevet HaLevi, and in Chelek Aleph Siman Lamed Hei, he says a number of background issues. First of all, there's no difference between a king and a queen. He says you do make the blessing over the queen, and there is no need for see the queen's face going past. If there's a procession going past, and Her Majesty the Queen is there, you still make the blessing. So there's no problem of histaklus. And as far as the basha is concerned from Egypt, where it says v'don v'harig v'mishpot, that it says applies to the basha, who is the deputy of the king, in order to show that that basha has authority. But it doesn't apply to the king himself or to the queen herself. We don't have to say v'don v'harig b'mishpot like the Radvaz says with the basha, because with the basha it's only to demonstrate that they have that authority from the ruler. But here, when you're talking about the ruler themselves, it's not applicable. So he says even if the queen has not got the power to put somebody to death, nevertheless, you still make the blessing. Ah, then what about the Rambam's Girsa, where the Rambam wrote Umigvuroso? Umigvuroso means his power. If you look closely at the Rambam, he uses this phrase when he talks about Malchei Yisroel, where he talks about Jewish kings. And when he talks about the non-Jewish kings, he misses out this word Umigvuroso, so that you still make the blessing over the non-Jewish king or queen, even when they do not have Gevura, even when they don't have power. And indeed, the Shulchan Aruch and the Poskim bring down a Girsa, which is not the Rambam's Girsa, even for Malchei Yisroel. And the Shulchan Aruch, Arachaim Simon Reish Chavdalet, Sivches, Shenosan Mechvodo, Labos of Adom, the word Migvuroso is not used. therefore power is not essential, and therefore you make the blessing over the king or the queen, Jewish or non-Jewish, whether or not they've got the power to put somebody to death. So that is the king or queen. They don't need to kill in order to designate their exclusive position. The fact is they receive honours. He says nobody in the United Kingdom gets as much honour as the queen. And that is why we make the blessing when we see the queen. And Rav Osner brings a Gemara Yerushalmi in Nozir, Perek Zayin Halacha Aleph, which says, mitzvah liros gedolei malchus. It is a mitzvah. It's not just that when, by chance, you happen to see Her Majesty the Queen, you make the blessing. It is a mitzvah to do so. Therefore, you get up and you go and do it. And when he says gedolei malchus, that means not only the queen herself. Gedolei malchus means any important member of the royal family, such as maybe Prince Charles or Princess Anne, that you make the blessing as well when you see them. And then he says, only if you see them bichvodon, like in royal robes or in some royal procession. And then you've got the Shim Yizka Yavchin, you've got the same principle there, that you'll be able to compare it to the Malchus HaMashiach.
William and Kate.
William is next in line to the throne after Charles. Yeah. So if William and Kate are passing by in some sort of royal procession, then according to Rav Vosner, yes, you will make that bracha. And the Maral Midiskin in Naim Lemishpot says it's a mitzvah saseh min haTorah to see the covered which is given to Gentile kings and queens, in order that you will then be able to learn how to give honour to your own kings and queens, Santosim Alecho Melech, when you eventually have your own king in the land of Israel.
Supposing you see a live video relay or something.
Right, this question actually is brought, for those who didn't hear, Norman asked, what if you see a live relay, or what if you see on television? There is the tshuva of the Be'er Moshe and the Betzel HaChochma and also the Yichaveh Das all address this question. Interestingly, the Betzel HaChochma, Rav Stern, in Chelek Bei Simen Yuches, he says, somebody who is Beveis Chaveiro, somebody who is in somebody else's house, and he sees on television the king or queen. We can understand why he wrote that, can't we? And though that phrase is not used by the Be'er Moshe, Rav Stern, or of the Yichaveh Das, Rav Avadah Yosef, the Be'er Moshe's in Chelek Beis Siman Tes, who talks about the president. He says with the president of the USA, you don't make the blessing with the Shaman Malchus, because after 4 years he can be ditched. So he doesn't possess the same dignity like the Queen of England. The Yichaveh Das, Rav Avadah Yosef, in Chelek Beis Siman Chafres, asks the question about seeing on television. He says you do not make the blessing when you see the king or queen on television. So I hope that answers your question. The late Rav Schneeberg from Stanford Hill wrote a set of Shalos Shuvas called Shraga HaMeir. And in Chelek Aleph Siman Pei Aleph, he writes, HaMalachim Bizman HaZeh, he says the kings and queens nowadays do not have the power to put to death or necessarily to commute a sentence, but we'll come to that later. But he says here, nevertheless, in England, he was writing in Stamford Hill, he said we still give covered l'malchus. He says there is no difference. Here in England we give the same honour to the king or to the queen and we make the blessing. And he quotes the Minchas Elozor, who's the Munkat Sharov Rav Chaim Elozor Shapira, who we might mention again in a minute, who said the bracha, he said the blessing when he met the Queen of Holland. He also quotes the Mishnas Yaakov, who wrote in New York in 1958, when the Queen of England visited New York, he ruled that you make the blessing when you see the Queen of England. And Rav Betzalel Stern in the Betzalel HaChochma in Chelek Beis Siman Yotes says it's a mitzvah to get up and to go and see her. It's not necessary to gaze into her face, you still make the blessing. And the Tshuva Svan Hoggus, that's Rav Sternberg, who's a brother-in-law of Dayan Erentroy, he writes about this in Arachayim Siman Kuf Lamed Tes. He says, we should all know that the Majesty, the Queen of England, always signs the royal assent to every single statute which is passed by Parliament. She doesn't? All right. Well, when he wrote this, she did. He also writes that there's the idea of the royal family being continuous, that it passes from one generation to the next, which gives it added dignity, and that is in contrast to the presidency of the United States, where he, in fact, might be overruled by the Senate and Congress, and he can be ditched after 4 years when the next election comes along. And therefore, you don't make the blessing with the Shaman Malchus over the President of the United States. But he doubts whether you make the blessing over the Queen if she's not as part of her royal procession. If she's not wearing her royal robes and getting all the glory, let's say you're going for a walk in Windsor Great Park and you meet the Queen taking her dogs for a walk. In his opinion, you don't make the blessing then, because she's not wearing her royal robes, because the bracha without, with wishing to be offensive, heaven forbid, to the Queen, it's the blessing that you make is on the concept of royalty. It's on the glory of royalty. And therefore, in his view, you will not make the blessing. I think others who differ in view and say, even if you meet the Queen in Windsor Great Park taking a dog for a walk, you will make the blessing. But that's his view. You'll make the blessing only when it's part of the royal procession. It is the fact that the Queen officially chooses the Prime Minister. And although we have a democracy and it's usually the leader of the greatest party who becomes the next Prime Minister, there was a crisis back in 1963 when Harold Macmillan passed away and there was no ready replacement to step in his place to be as Prime Minister. And there was a lot of talk going on behind the scenes, and the Queen played a major role in choosing the Prime Minister. Recently in the news there was something in Papua New Guinea. The Queen isn't just Queen of England, she's Queen of many countries. In Papua New Guinea the Queen is the ruler, and you have there a Governor General who represents her, and there was a Governor General who had to go abroad for health reasons for surgery. And when he was away, somebody else stepped in and then claimed that he was the new Governor General. And when he came back, there was a bit of a dispute. And they were saying in the news that this is a dispute which has to be sorted out by Her Majesty the Queen herself. They were hoping to avoid the embarrassment that she has to step in. But nevertheless, the power is hers. It's also the fact that in some of the countries of the Commonwealth, in this country as well, there is a death penalty for treason, even though it's not exercised. But in some countries where Her Majesty, she's Queen of Canada, she's Queen of Australia, Papua New Guinea, the Commonwealth, there is still a death sentence in some of those countries, and she does have the power to commute a death sentence. Even though it's something very rare indeed, that is nevertheless the law. It is also the fact that every week, I think it's on a Wednesday, she meets the Prime Minister.
Tuesday.
Is it Tuesdays? And just imagine how many Prime Ministers she's been meeting since 1952 when she became Queen in February of that year. And since then there have been a host of Prime Ministers, so she discusses with them the affairs of state. The new Prime Minister comes in, he's got no experience. She's got the experience of having discussed similar problems with other Prime Ministers, and she gives the advice, and therefore it is something which is of great significance. She has what's called crown immunity, the royal prerogative, and this all justifies the fact that we make the blessing over. So we ask this question about closing up the Gemara in order to see her, where it's a mitzvah to get up and to go and watch the royal procession. The Aruch HaShulchan brings down this din of mitzvah in Siman Reish Chaf Dalet, and he says for at least once you have to close up your Gemara. You have to stop your learning in the Beis HaMedrash and go out and take part in the procession in order to say the blessing. What about a second time? He said, if the second time the procession is going to be greater than the first time, then you have a duty then as well. So if you went out to watch the wedding of Prince William and Kate, and you made the blessing, now when the Diamond Jubilee is coming up, where there will be an even greater procession, then that, the Aruch HaShulchan would be saying, is a reason to get up and close your Gemara in order to take part. And in fact, in 1981, when Her Majesty the Queen opened up the Gateshead Leisure Centre, the whole yeshiva came out with the Rosh Yeshiva to join in the audience, and they said the blessing over the Queen.
Yes? Is it your responsibility to go out of your way to go and see her?
Well, the Gemara...
You're in England, and you want to go... She's in, I don't know, on the barge in... on the Thames, is it your duty to go and stand there?
I think all personal queries in any case have to be forwarded to one's own Rov to see how it applies to oneself individually. I'm not giving you decisions which apply to necessarily to every single person. I'm just quoting the sources. But it's not far away to the River Thames, and I think from what we've read, going from the Gemara right through the Rambam to the modern day Poskim, where it says mitzvah larut, it's a mitzvah to run, and there is this rule set aside for the Kohanim to jump over these Aronos, where you're setting aside a rabbinical law in order that you can go and greet the king or queen who is a Gentile, not necessarily Jewish. So from there you can reach your own conclusions. I think we may have discussed once in the past the custom it used to take place for the Sifrei Torah to be brought out. That when you go out to greet the king or queen, the non-Jewish king or queen, you take the Sifrei Torah, the scrolls of law, out from the synagogue, and you stand on the street holding them when the king goes past. And the Shutz of the Kasaf Sofer discusses this custom in Aruch Chaim Siman Lamed Zayin, where in Krakow he was asked a question by his brother that the king was coming on Shabbos, which was going to fall on Yom Kippur. What do they do? We have the custom to bring out the Sifrei Torah into the street. What do we do? The king is coming and it's Shabbos on Yom Kippur. And it's an amazing teshuva where he quotes this Gemara in Brachos Yotes about Medalgin, about the Kohanim jumping over these coffins. And for the Malchei Umas Olam Hitir Isad Rabbonon, where the rabbis allowed to be set aside a rabbinical law in order to greet the king. And he brings the Rambam in Hilchos Ovel, Sof Perek Gimel. And he said, because Krakow has a din of Karbalis, there is no proper Rosh Hashanah Rabbim in Krakow. I'm not going to get drawn into questions about London, but in Krakow he said it's a din of Karmelis, and therefore, since it's a din of Karmelis, which is a din Drabonon, they were allowed to bring out the Sifrei Torah into the street to greet the king. And to set aside the din Drabonon, there's also a din of Mishum Eivah, but that's another issue. The Or Sameach looks at this issue, but is a bit more cautious. And Hilchos Yom Tov Perek Vav, the Arsa Mach in his Perish on the Rambam, is asked the question about playing music on Shabbos. Music is a din d'rabbanon. Do you play music when the king goes past in a procession? And he says, it's not so straightforward. You can't learn one din d'rabbanon onto another din d'rabbanon. And once you are going to set aside a din d'rabbanon, then it's the thin end of the wedge, etc., etc. And often Chazal osu chizuk ledivrehem ki'ilu d'araisa. There are some dinim d'rabbanon which the rabbis made to give strength as though they are dinim min ha-Torah. And therefore, he says, there isn't an automatic license to play music or to carry in a karmelis. But Zechol Avram, Rav Shlomo ben Shimon, Chava Beis Dini B'Yerushalayim, he thinks that it's a chilul Hashem to play music on Shabbos, but if you stand there with respect, maybe with the Sifrei Torah, according to the Ksav Sofer, that is good enough. So according to the Noggin Avram, he says that the setting aside of a Dindra Bon is only for Malchei Yisrael, but other poskim disagree. There is a story of Saragoza in 1440 where they were going to come out and greet the king, and they found the Sephardi Sifrei Torah rather heavy with the scrolls inside. So some bright spark said, well, let's leave the scrolls behind in the shul and we'll come out just with the casings and greet the king. And that's what they were doing until one Geshmatayid, an apostate called Marcus, went and told the king. He said, these Jews are taking you for a ride. They're not really holding their scrolls off the law. And the king got very annoyed and upset. He said, well, if what you say is true, they're going to be in big trouble. And the night before the procession, the shamas of each one of the 12 shuls had a dream when Eliyahu HaNavi appeared and said, go now, don't tell anybody what you're doing, but go now to the shul and make sure the scrolls are inside every Sefer Torah for the royal procession. And there were 3 Sifrei Torah taken out from each of the 12 shuls, 36 Sifrei Torah, and they came out to greet the king. And when the king rode past on his horse with Marcus at his side, he said, okay, go and have a look. And Marcus instructed them to open up the Sifrei Torah. The Jews who were holding them were petrified, and they opened up, the scrolls are inside. Marcus was put to death, and the Jews were told that they don't have to pay tax for the next 3 years. And since then, on the 17th of Shavat, there became the Purim of Saragoza. There's a Megillah which you can read describing the story, which is reproduced in the Luach Dovah Be'ito. An amazing story. We may once have discussed the Munkat Shiro Rav, Rav Shapiro, who we mentioned before, who was visiting some place in Hungary, and there were hundreds of Hasidim coming to greet him at the railway station. And the Queen of Holland was on that train, Queen Wilhelmina. And she saw this procession and asked what's going on. And she was told, a very famous rabbi, an amazing rabbi, is here in town and we've come to greet him. She said, I want to meet this rabbi. And they arranged to meet in a local park where there's no publicity. She came with her advisors, he came with some Hasidim, they had an interpreter. And she said, Rabbi, I've got this problem. I'm coming towards the end of my childbearing age. I've got no children, and the Dutch royal family will end if I don't have any children. And Rav Shapira said to him, Your Majesty, within 1 year you will give birth to a child. And that child will be the next monarch, and the Malchus, the kingdom of Holland, will carry on Ad Shiloh Shiloh till Mashiach comes. And she gave birth within a year to Juliana, who then became queen, and she gave birth to four girls, and one of them who was Beatrice, who is now the current queen, and she's got four sons. So there's every good guarantee that the Dutch royal family will carry on through the blessing of the Munkat Sharov. Rav Simcha Zissel Brody, who was the Rosh Hashiva of Chevron, writes in his Sefer, Som Derech, Kovod Malchus God Olad Mod. It is a very important thing to give honor to the monarchy. And he gives a number of ideas, and he brings this in Parshas Miketz. Number one, he says, when Hashem puts a person in power and gives them kovod, then we must emulate what God is doing and give that person honor as well. Because God wants honor given to that person, then we have a duty to give honor to that person. Secondly, he says, people who scorn, people who are negative about such things of the royal family, they're only bringing harm upon themselves, because when we scorn and we are full of negativity, that has an effect on our own character. And therefore, we have to have a respect for authority. Thirdly, he says, when you are giving honor to royalty, you are giving yourself a perception of how God's royalty. Because every day we're praying three times to God, who is the King of Kings and royalty. And in order to get a perception of royalty, we can appreciate it when we see how Malchus is honoured, when we see the changing of the guard, and we see the pomp and the pageantry. You might say, oh, it's just a British tradition, but it's more than that. When you see the respect which is given to monarchy, you can then perceive the respect which has to be given to Melech Malchim Amlochim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's interesting, because when we are now in Golus, in exile, and we see things that are going on, Rav Elchanan Wasserman says, we learn from this. We learn from our Gentile friends how to behave. And he says that we've got something called tradition in the British tradition. He says there's such a thing where we can learn from the Gentiles as to what tradition is. He said this about other countries as well, how we could learn from them, but that's for another time. And it's interesting, because I found in the Tshuvos of Rav Mordechai Leib Winkler, the Livushei Mordechai, he writes in Yerodea Simon Mem Test Telisoi, he says a very interesting phrase. He says, England may iye Eretz HaKodesh. He says, England is like the islands of the Holy Land. Why does he say this about England? He doesn't actually say. He quotes this, B'shem the Chasam Sofer. What is so special about England? I think the reason why he wrote this is because throughout Europe, where Catholicism carried on, it was much harder for the Jews. Henry VIII broke away from the Catholic Church because, you know, divorced, beheaded, survived. What's the saying? Divorced, beheaded, survived. Well, he came to the conclusion that Catherine of Aragon, it might be easier just to divorce her than to behead her. So when the Catholic Church said he can't do that, he brought in three rabbis, and he got hold of a shas, and he asked them to explain it to him, to show that divorce is perfectly permitted according to the laws of the Torah. And he broke away from the Catholic Church, hence Protestantism, and the monarch of this country is the head of the Church of England. And it seems that the attitude of the Chasam Sofer and Rav Mordechai Leib Winkler was that the Jewish people in England were having a much easier time, not suffering pogroms and blood libels like they were doing so in Europe. And I think that's probably why he praised England so much. Rav Moshe Sternbuch writes about Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld, who made the bracha on seeing the king of Jordan. However, he also mentions in another place that when the Kaiser Wilhelm II came in 1898 to visit the old city of Jerusalem, he came in a procession of white horses and a gold helmet. He presented the Jews with a Bikur Cholim hospital site in Rehov Strauss. So everybody was coming out to greet him, and they came to Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld and he said, "Quick, you must come out and greet the Kaiser of Germany." And he said, "No, I'm not going out to greet the Kaiser." They said to him, "Why not?" And this was in 1898. He said, "Because Germany is a Molech. I'm not going out." And 40 years later, exactly 40 years later, my own mother watched Kristallnacht, her own shul burning down in Frankfurt am Main. And she had a red J stamped in her passport. She had to insert a middle name, Sarah, like all other Jewish females, in her passport. And my grandfather had to have the name Israel inserted as a middle name. Fortunately, they got out with the kindness of Rabbi Dr. Schoenfeld, Zecher Tzadik Livrocha, but 22 close relations of hers were guests in the chambers as part of the 6 million. So when we think of our history and what our parents and grandparents went through, and we managed to come to these English shores where we're able to practice our religion easily without hindrance, we have a great recognition of Hakoras HaTov to Her Majesty the Queen and to her ministers, that we are living in a Malchus Shel Chesed, a kingdom of kindness, that we can practice our faith properly, and for that we have to show our gratitude. And it's simply for that reason alone it's important that when something takes place like Her Majesty the Queen's Diamond Jubilee, that God has given us such good health that she should continue unto 120 to be able to be running our country in the same form of tolerance that we are luxuriously being able to accommodate. Hashem should send her victorious, happy and glorious, long to reign over us till 120. May God save the Queen. Amen. Amen.